We continue, actually Tony started the series off for us where we've been looking at some important topics over the past couple of weeks, and you might remember he started it by looking at the question, what is the church? And also we've looked at how God gives elders to the church to lead and guide the church by the scriptures, and how God gives deacons to care for the other needs of the body, which we looked at last week, and both are examples to the church of godly character and care. And this week we come to the important question of what is a church family member, which I touched on a little bit last week. Or another way of putting it might be, what is a Christian who calls this church, Westview, their home church, their family church? In looking at this question, I think really there's probably another question inside this question. What is a church family member leads first into to another question, I think, that is, what is a Christian? We can't really answer what a member of this church is unless we first look at the more fundamental basis of being a member of a local church, and that is being a Christian. So then, what is a Christian? Well, I hope that you've set aside a couple of hours this morning. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, while we could spend hours, days, weeks, months studying this question, it's a basic and easy question at the same time. Simply put, a Christian is a Christ follower, someone who trusts in and follows after Jesus. But what does that mean? As we look at the scriptures, which is where all our authority and truth is found, we see a picture of what a Christ follower, a follower of Jesus, a Christian is. The picture of what a Christian is found in the message of the gospel, that is the good news about Jesus. The call of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is first that people recognize the bad news, that is, their wrongdoing before God. They agree with God about their sin, their wrongdoing. They turn from their sin and place their faith, their trust in Jesus' death on the cross for their sin. Paul in Romans spends the first three chapters really speaking about the sinfulness of sin, the wrong of humanity against God, that there is no one righteous, no one who does good, that all, every person has sinned and fallen short of God's glory, the perfect, holy and righteous God. Peter in Acts chapter 3, speaking to the crowd, tells them this: the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You have killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. Peter points out their sin, their wrong before God. He tells them, you handed over Jesus. You disowned the holy and righteous one, and you killed the author of life. But then he tells them, it continues from verse 19. Repent then, he says. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. The gospel, the good news about Jesus, is seen only to be truly good news when the bad news is seen. The bad news is that because of our sin, our wrongdoing, our rebellion against the holy God, we all, each one here this morning, deserve God's rightful and just punishment for our sin, which his word tells us is eternal separation from him. But the good news is that Jesus took our place. He died on the cross, bearing our sin, bearing our wrongdoing against God. He took our punishment, so that all those who agree with God that they have sinned against him and place their trust in Jesus and his death for their sin, all those will receive forgiveness and peace and eternal life. A Christian is someone who has agreed with God about what he says about our wrongdoing against him, and place their trust in Jesus as both their Saviour and their Lord. Jesus is now their new master. No longer sin and self-centeredness, but Jesus is their Lord, their master, their King, and their hope is in Him alone. So, is that you this morning? Have you placed your trust in Jesus' death to cover your sin? Are you following after Jesus as your King? That doesn't mean that you won't struggle. I certainly do. You won't have ups and downs, hard times. In fact, you'll probably struggle more for following Jesus. But you will have also the fullness of joy. In Him, you will have certain hope in His promise of eternal life with Him. He is, of course, worth following. He really is. So if a Christian is a follower of Jesus, I believe this is where we need to start in answering this question. Someone who's trusted in Jesus' death on their behalf and is following after Him as their Lord and Saviour, then what is a church family member? What is a Christian who calls this church their home church? How does a Christian be a member of a church? And is that important? Is that even important? Well, at this point, I think our church constitution is actually really helpful. That old thing, which is really a document of our fundamental principles based on our understanding of the scriptures, of God's word. Now let me read to you a little about what our church constitution says regarding church membership here at Westview, and if you want to read it later, come see me, we can give you a copy, which is a good thing. 3.1 should be on the screen. Persons desiring membership will first have met the following conditions. They will personally have confessed faith in Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. They will be willing to subscribe openly to the doctrines, practices and objectives of this church. Members accept the responsibility of caring for one another in whatever ways they can, spiritually, materially and socially. All members acknowledge publicly their covenant relationship in the following terms, and this is the covenant that we sign. We, the undersigned, having confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, now accept membership in the Westview Baptist Church. We covenant with one another to make this church our spiritual family and ask God to help us live as a community of His kingdom, submitting to Christ's rule over us according to the teachings of Scripture and under the arrangements of the Westview Constitution. The fostering of family life must always be an important concern of the church. All members should seek to discover, develop and exercise their gifts and talents in personal ministry so that the kingdom of God may be built up and increased. They will maintain their membership by active attendance and involvement. The church shall maintain discipline among their members in accordance with the New Testament scriptures. Everyone within the congregation is encouraged to share as fully as they can in all aspects of the church, of the life of the church. There's some really good things written down. I didn't write any of them. Based on our understanding of the scriptures, which is what these things are written down from, and the importance of covenant and commitment, our understanding is that membership is where we say, this is my church family. I commit to be a part of this local church, to submit myself to the leadership and to every member for mutual building up in Christ, for God's glory and praise. And we do have, of course, a formal membership registry, and can I encourage you to consider this. And this is in part for sake of the government. These names are those who are recognised to be part of this local church by the government. But more fundamental and at the core of membership is really the commitment to be there for one another, to support one another, to care for one another, to point one another to Jesus through the highs and lows of the Christian life. To stick by each other. And this is the commitment of a member of this church until God takes us home or leads us elsewhere. But always to be a part of His local body, the Church of Christ, and to see both our need and our responsibility to one another. The writer of the Hebrews says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds." Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We need each other. We are God's gifts to each other. Each follower of Jesus both needs for themselves and for the good of the local church to give themselves to the church for its building up. Now have a look with me at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is in leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is in showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Christians, those in Christ, as Paul puts it, are different parts of the same body. We are all different, we are all gifted differently according to God's grace. He gives us gifts differently. And we are to use these gifts to serve one another, as Paul says here. Paul spells this out again for us, maybe even a bit more in depth in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at that. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would no longer for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Take that in. You, followers of Jesus, you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of his body. A pretty amazing thing. By faith in Jesus' death for our sin, trusting in him as our Lord and Saviour, we, his sheep, his people, his bride, are part of his body. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. It's just like a family unit, isn't it? If the wife gets cancer, if a child dies, if suffering happens, it doesn't just affect one person, does it? It doesn't just affect the person suffering, it affects us all. We've seen this with Bob and many others. We come in here week after week, we hear about each other's struggles with health, with relationships, with work, and with so many things, and we suffer together. Someone gets sick and we suffer together. Someone gets killed for their faith in Christ, we suffer together. We mourn, we grieve, and we comfort each other. That is what a body does. The whole body feels the pain of one part being hurt. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. We don't say, why can't that happen to me? Why can't I be honoured? We can thank God that that part of our body, that our family, Christ's body, has been honoured. We are to have, as Paul says here, equal concern for each other. And part of this is that we take care of each other's needs. We give financially to support Tony and to support myself, to allow Tony and I to give ourselves full time to our role to build up this body. Of course, this does not mean that Tony and I are the only ones who do this. But this giving recognises God's calling some to this role and allows us to do this in a full-time capacity. But of course, we are all called to give ourselves to each other for the building up of one another. It appears in the Corinthian church that Paul is speaking to that people were flaunting their gifts. Oh, I can speak in tongues. Look at me. I'm awesome. Attitudes such as these. And this is, of course, not at all the purpose of gifts. God does not give us gifts to show off or to judge others as less spiritual than us because they don't have our gift. God gives us all different gifts. They are His gifts, and He can take them away. None are better than others because of their gifts. We, the people of God, followers of Jesus, are all, as Peter writes, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that we may declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, He says, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Peter goes on in chapter 4, which we looked at last week. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. The purpose of all our gifts is to serve one another. The purpose of our serving one another is that God might be praised, that He might be glorified through Jesus Christ. God has given us each for our encouragement and accountability and rebuke. He has given us each other. God has given us all that we need so that we can build each other up. We live in a culture of growing uncommitment, of non-commitment, or very little commitment. An individualistic culture that says it's really all about you. Do what feels good for you. But Paul says here we are to look out for each other's needs. Just like a family commits to stay together, we commit to each other until God takes us home or directs us elsewhere. When we commit to this local body, we say that we are allowing ourselves to be held accountable to this body, to this church. And it is an encouragement for the body to know who is a part of us, who is with us. It also allows each of us to examine our understanding of the truth as we affirm what we as a church and as individuals believe to be true from the scriptures. In closing this morning, I want to ask some questions that I think are helpful. Firstly, are you sure this morning that you are a follower of Jesus. That you have placed your trust in Him, in His death for your sin, and are following Him as your Lord and King. There is not a more important question. Everything else is secondary to that. And can I say, if you're unsure, I would love to speak to you. So are the deacons and the elders. Are you a member of this local body? Have you formally or informally committed to be a part of this body, of this church? And lastly, what gifts has God given to you so that you can build up this church? Maybe encouragement, maybe hospitality, maybe teaching, maybe it's mentoring others, maybe listening to others, being a comforting shoulder. We often think about the upfront people as those with the gifts. How wrong this is. It's just one gift of many. We are not just talking here about tasks, but of course things need to happen for us to meet together, for this place to hold together, for sick people to be visited, for people to be encouraged, for a phone call to those who haven't been around for a while, for the new people to be welcomed, for people struggling to be encouraged, for people with little to be provided for those going through hard and rough seasons in their life to be supported through prayer, a listening ear, a hug. I certainly need those things, and I'm sure that we all do. We need each other. We are equal parts of the same body, Christ's body. And God tells us not to do this journey alone. We need each other. And can I just say that you being here this morning is a gift to us, to each other. Your choosing to come here this morning is a gift to us. Even if the only strength you have is to come, you have come. And this is to be a place for us all to be able to come and find rest, to find peace and encouragement, to keep on in this journey of faith in Jesus that is hard. And sometimes you might wake up and think, I can't encourage anyone, I'm falling apart myself. Well, can I encourage you? That's why we have each other. We all go through hard times. That's why we need each other. We are here to support one another, to let each other know, I'm struggling, I need prayer, I need support, I need your encouragement, to let each other know. We are not here for brownie points. We're not here to measure who's been coming the most weeks. We are here for one another. Not just this morning, we are here for one another to do life together, to pray, to care, to encourage by the scriptures, to rejoice, to laugh, to cry together. And this is the life of the body of Christ in all its messiness. We need each other, we really do, and that's why God gives us each other. He gives us His Spirit, He gives us His Word, and He gives us His people because we need one another. And so this morning God's Word reminds us that we are all members of the same body. Every part is important. Every part has been gifted differently for the good of the church. We are all the body of Christ, and each one of us is a part of it. Of course, God has made us all differently, and that is a wonderful thing. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? He has made us all differently and given us all different gifts for the building up of one another. And can I say, you might be sitting here this morning thinking, I'm useless. God hasn't gifted me, certainly not like He's gifted others. Well, can I say, you're wrong. You being here this morning is a gift. And God has made us all differently and given us all through His Spirit gifts for the mutual building up of one another. If you don't know where you might be gifted or how you might use who God has made you to be, I can encourage you to speak to one of the elders or deacons. I would be happy to speak to you this morning, to pray with you, to encourage you, because we are all valuable. We are all parts of Christ's body. As followers of Jesus, we are the church. We are not talking about you needing to change who you are if you're a follower of Christ. We are talking about exploring who God has already made us, who God is making us, and how we can use who He has made us to be to serve one another for His glory and praise. The aim this morning is not to riddle us with guilt. That's not my desire. To fill you with false guilt over not doing enough. No. We don't want you to be someone you're not. And my desire is that you would be filled with joy in using who God has made you to be and is making you, and what God has given you in Christ to serve us, to serve one another for His glory and praise. The aim is that we would know who we are, the Church of Christ, children of the King of Kings, sons and daughters of the living God, part of the same one body, Christ's body, put together for our good and for God's glory. Let me invite Lynn, she's going to come pray for us.